Would and turn to the book of Romans. We'll spend the next little while at again. This book Paul is writing. He's writing from Corinth, and he's writing to the Romans. He's never been there, although he knows many people that were there, and he is trying to encourage this church, and he's teaching them some important thoughts and things that are for each one of us to learn and to know. And it's a book filled with doctrine. If there are two books that I would ask someone to read, the first two books I would ask them to read John, and specifically John chapter 3, but the book of John and the book of Romans. And because Romans has so much to offer a person who doesn't understand God, because it reveals so much. And Paul was writing to these folks and to give them some understanding and encouragement, although they were doing a pretty good job. And he commends them for that. Tonight we'll see that. But we're going to go ahead and see how far we get. We're going to read beginning in verse 13, and I'm going to read down to verse 33 tonight. So if you'll follow along, we'll see where we go from there. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are in Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word again. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for his ministry, Father, as he was penning these letters. This was the outpouring of what Jesus Christ had taught him and his experience in the ministry, Father, that through the Holy Spirit you had given him the words to write these letters, that today we can go back and study these and read these and have understanding of your plan for us. For you're a God that doesn't change. Even though cultures change, even though time changes, you're still the same God. And Father, as we look to you tonight, we ask you that you might guide and direct in these next few moments and help us to understand what Paul is doing and why he's writing these things. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's, verse 13, he's beginning to share. He finished up in verse 12, beginning in chapter 12, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 12. He was teaching practical applications of how to live and how Christians are to surrender themselves, how God has given them special gifts to use for the ministry, how we're to love each other as Christians, but also how to love those that are not Christians. He taught us how we're to love our neighbors. And so he went through and he taught us these things to help us be encouraged. He taught us that we're not to be offensive. Yes, we have liberty, but our liberty only goes as far as another man's liberty. And so we should be looking to others than to ourselves. And so here in verse 13, he's going and is about wrapping up the letter, if you will, and he's talking about his plans for the Roman believers, that he's going to be heading that way soon. And he's just trying to encourage them at the end of this letter. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And so that whole idea is that hope is an expectation or confidence. "Now the God of confidence," or the expectation, "fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." That idea of abounding is prosperity and peace. It's to have faith, it's to believe what God has said and to trust Him for what He's taught us in the Word of God. And that's what faith is. Faith is believing without necessarily understanding everything. It's looking at the Word of God and trying to, as God guides and directs us, and it's through the Spirit. For without the Spirit drawing you, you can't be saved. Without the Spirit working in your life, you can't understand these things. You can't apply them in your life. You can't accomplish what the Lord has called us to do. And if it's a struggle and we're fighting it, it's probably in the flesh. Because if we do it in the Spirit, it should be easier. Jesus told us that when we yoke up with Him. And so here He's talking about this faith we have in the God of hope. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can find this God of hope. In Romans chapter 5, again in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, Romans 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So it's through Jesus Christ that we can know the God of peace. It's through Jesus Christ that we can have peace, the peace of God. And, of course, we make peace and we're no longer enemies of God because of Jesus. He's the author of hope. He's the source of hope. In fact, without God, there is no hope for a future. There is no hope of a Redeemer. We have no hope of eternal life. We're lost in our sins and trespasses. And that is important. That's why we're here tonight. Is because there's been a time in your life when you accepted Christ as your Savior. And as we studied the Word of God, we found out we need to be together. Those that have and know the God of hope. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." That's a promise. You don't have to sit there and wonder, what's going to happen to me? The promise is that I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And that's going to be a glorious time. We don't sometimes think that way because we're sometimes anchored to this earth and this world. But when we see Jesus Christ, I believe we're going to forget everything else except for Him. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Titus, Paul wrote, he said, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." And that's what Paul is writing to these folks and trying to encourage them in the things of God, knowing that no matter what happens to us in this lifetime, we have hope. No matter what situation, He said that they may abound or be in excess in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, there's power there. That word power is the word dunamis, where we get dynamite. And we can rely on that power. How do we get that power? That power comes first by accepting Christ as our Savior. Secondly, it's being filled with the Spirit, or denying self. That's how you get the filling of the Spirit. It's choosing to live for God and not for self. And the power of the Spirit will give us that strength to do that, to accomplish that which God has called us to do. For I can do nothing without the power of God in my life as a result to the things of God. I cannot do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We want to know what the Word of God says. If you have the Spirit of God, He promises that you can find out. Because the Spirit of God is God. In Romans chapter 5, again, in verses 3 and 5, it says, And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That love that no other way you can obtain, that agape love, is through Jesus Christ, having the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 15 and 16, he says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how we know. That's how, when we live this life, and as we go and we study the Word of God and we're praying, we know that we are saved, because that Spirit bears witness with us. Even when we don't understand everything, even though we're not practicing everything that we're learning, and again, it's a lifelong lesson for sure, that Spirit is going to reveal to us. And the Bible tells us to work out your own salvation. It's not telling us to go do something to prove we're saved. Is saying, study the Word of God, and it will confirm in your life over and over and over again that you're a child of His. As you read the Word of God and you see it and you understand it and you say, yes, amen. And there are times when I say, oh me, but what happens then is I say, Lord, help me. Help me to accomplish that which you have shown me in the Word of God. Paul, he acknowledges the fact that these folks are pretty well versed in the Word of God here. In verse 14, it's not like the church at Corinth. They had a lot of struggles. They had a lot of problems. He says in verse 14, And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Remember, the church at Corinth was no way capable of doing anything, hardly. There were so many divisions, so many things going on. It wasn't because they were lost, because they were saved. They were Christians. But the Bible says they were carnal Christians. These folks don't seem to be in that same category. Because they could admonish one another. They saw what was right. They saw what was wrong. They had knowledge. They were filled with knowledge. And so these folks, they have something going for them, which is good. And as all Christians, as we look to the Lord and we serve Him, we want this to be said about us. I want this to be said about me. But nonetheless, Paul still sees the need to write them, even though they are full of goodness, even though they are filled with all knowledge, even though they were able to admonish and approve one or reprove one another. They were doing pretty good, but he says in verse 15, nevertheless. And this is so important for all of us, how important it is to study the Word of God and be in church and be in the Word of God. Because why? We forget. It's easy to go and go off on a different path and lose our direction, lose our focus. There's so much in the world that wants to take away the idea that we're to worship God and to follow Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It wants us to look at a lot of things that really don't matter. And so how important it is to go back and go back and go back. And not only that, but how many times have you read a passage and it's like God just put a light on it. And the Holy Spirit said, see here, this is what I want you to know today. But I read this 100 times. Well, you didn't get it that time. It wasn't ready for it. And he reveals to us. He says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. He wanted them to affirm and be affirmed in the things of God. He wanted them to know, and we all needed that. It confirms to us when we read the Word of God that we're doing what God wants us to do. It confirms in our heart that we're stepping in the steps that God has for us. He was writing in a bold fashion, he said, more boldly. Some things that he wrote to them, he gave them some solid doctrine, and that wasn't the case to the Corinthians. He couldn't write to them with solid doctrine. He had to give them the milk, if you remember, because they were carnal. But here he could write more boldly, and he could remind them, or putting them in mind, because of what? The grace. Grace. What is grace? That's God's benefit. That's God's favor. That's how we are able to trust Christ, is because of the grace that God has given to us. That grace is extended to the faith that we have, and the Spirit draws us, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's that grace or that favor that God has given to all men, if they will believe it with all their heart. He knew that he was saved on the road to Damascus. He knew that God called him shortly thereafter. In fact, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was surrendered from that day one. We know he wasn't perfect, obviously, but nonetheless, he loved the Lord. He was an apostle. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll finish up right here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just reminding us, Paul is reminding the church there. It's the same idea, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 8, he's just given the gospel in a nutshell in verses, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4. He shared the gospel, and again, in verse 8, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believed. The grace of God has done this. It's done it in our lives. It has done it in Paul's life. And that's what he's explaining here, in the fact that it's God's grace that has given him this opportunity. God's grace has given us the opportunity as well to be what God has called us to be, and that is to be a witness and a testimony of the world. We are the light of the world. And when we think about that, you know, you can go back to Matthew chapter 5. It speaks of that. That idea, it's so easy. When the world comes in between us and our Lord, what happens is, it's like putting our candlestick under a basket. When the world comes in and we start following the world, then we lose that opportunity for the light. It becomes dim. It's because we look so much like the world, it's hard to find the light. And that's what we have the opportunity to do, is be the light in this dark world. As God is blessing us and it's His grace, He'll give us the grace to do that which He asks us to do. And all we do is look to Him and trust Him every day and walk with Him. Paul's going to explain more about his idea of coming to them, and the fact that it's all centered on the gospel. And that's what he says. It's all centered on the gospel. That's his life. And we have that same opportunity. Now, we have other concerns as well. We're not single. Most of us are married and have families. We have to take care of those as well. But still, through our families, we have opportunity to share the gospel with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for how he works in our lives and how he leads us. We ask that you would help us to each one be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that you'd go before us and that you'd guide each step that we have. And again, Father, we pray for those tonight that have difficult situations. We pray for Josh and all that's going to take place in the next week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, and pray you have your hand upon him and his family. And Father, just guide and direct. And Father, again, we want to give you the glory for all that you do. We thank you for it. We thank you for the grace that you give each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.